Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the WIP Morning Show on a Monday morning. And good, I got 30 seconds before we actually start the show at 6 o'clock. So let's get this out of the way.
What happened?
My prediction was spectacularly wrong.
What happened?
I was not right, and I was wrong about it, and now I see the error in my ways. And that kind of thing will never happen again, and I apologize for the mistake. and that's all I have to say, and now we'll start the show.
Okay.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to WIP Morning Show on a Monday morning in the Delaware Valley where, well, I don't know what else to tell you. The Philadelphia Eagles, yesterday, in the eyes of anybody with an intelligent mind, indicated to the world that they are the best team in the NFL this season.
Mm-hmm.
I turn to my colleague, Mr. Keith Jones. Jonesy, any doubt left?
Not in my mind, but the rest of the league, there seems to be doubt. Yeah. They're still not the favorite to win the Super Bowl.
They are not favored yet to win the Super Bowl, but those are people that are not seeing what we are seeing. I will take this the next step right out of the box. Rob McElhaney, the creator and the artist behind It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, tweeted out after yesterday's game, "This is the greatest Eagles team we have ever had."
Hmm.
Now, Rob is not an older man. He's, I'd say, 40s, somewhere in the late 40s. He may be right.
Yeah.
But statistically, there's only been two teams that, well, there's only been one team that was 11-1, 1949, and they won the championship that year. My good friend Tom Brookshire, may God rest his soul, was on that team. And he told me that was the best team he ever played on.
Mm-hmm.
They were 11-1. Same record the Eagles have right now. The team that won the Super Bowl most recently 5 years ago, they were 10-1 and then lost in Seattle.
Yeah.
This team right now, what you saw yesterday, ladies and gentlemen, they are charting a new course to greatness.
Mm-hmm.
Da-da-da!
Yeah, they are.
That was
Rhea, fun to watch.
Rhea, how great was that victory?
It was fantastic to witness in person.
Now, Al will point out, what I know it? Jonesy will too, Al, this is problematic.
What?
For us personally.
Why?
There's very little to bitch about.
There's nothing. If you can bitch today, I don't know how you're going to.
The offensive line. That's the one thing.
I'll give you the jumper.
That's the only thing you can say.
No, there is more, and he will be on at 9 o'clock because he is under fire on Twitter.
Who?
Seth Joyner.
Oh, no.
Early in the game.
Oh, no.
Declared that he is done with Jonathan Gannon.
Oh, no.
Done criticizing him?
No, done.
What?
He got very upset early in the game, and he declared that he had retired from Jonathan Gannon.
That's why you stay off Twitter till it's over.
Yes.
Exactly. Al, in the moment, a lot of things are uttered that are too emotional.
You can't.
Now, I'm going to have to require Joyner at 9 o'clock to eat some crow.
Really?
And if he doesn't do it,
oh my God,
Jonesy, you're going to have to break up the fisticuffs.
No, I don't go near Seth. He's a machine.
Prior to Seth, we will have Nick Sirianni, the mastermind. He fixed everything in 1 week.
Yep.
They were having a hard time tackling. They didn't have a hard time tackling Derrick Henry. They're having a hard time at special team. They were great on special team.
Phenomenal.
They did almost everything well. You're right, Al. I'm saving the thing with the jumping offside. That's all I got.
That's it.
All I got.
That's it.
I got nothing.
No, it's amazing. What a performance.
And that's why I would like to begin this show, because it was one thing I realized as the game was going on. What you saw yesterday, ladies and gentlemen, is 3 hours and 20 minutes tribute to the brilliance of general manager Howie Roseman.
Mm.
You could not watch that game and not say to yourself, oh, my God. Since that dumb decision on Jefferson, where he ended up with Rager, the man has the Midas touch. Everything he did is great. N'Kobe Dean came in off the bench and was spectacular. He was second in tackles. He played a quarter. Every guy out there, think about all the people that were part of yesterday's victory. A.J. Brown was the big star. He got back for the Titans. A.J. Brown, he stole from those Titans in the offseason. I mean, he just
He stole Jalen Hurts in the draft.
He stole Hurts in the draft, a second rounder. That's the best quarterback in the league this year.
It's amazing.
How he got that. Bradbury, phenomenal on the corner. The two big guys, Sue and Joseph, he just brought them in. Henry could get nowhere, nothing. All of them. The Davis, the number one pick, back in the game, contributing again. You could not look anywhere and not see Howie's fingerprints and say to yourself, that's an amazing move. That was a great move. That was an incredible move. How did he do it? It's incredible.
That's the best question. How did he do it?
How did he do it?
Because it is incredible. You look back at the 2020 team when Wentz was the quarterback and Hurts just arrived. Fulgham, was that his name? Travis Fulgham was the top wide receiver.
He was your number guy.
Yeah, J.J. Ortega-Whiteside was one of your first-round picks. You
had, now, those were all his mistakes, but he stopped doing it.
How did he get rid of these guys get the pieces that he has and keep under the cap and keep the guys we love like Brandon Graham at the same time? I don't know how he did it.
Ladies and gentlemen, let us begin by basking in the glory of an easy victory over a quality opponent.
If you dig into the heart of A.J. Brown, trust me, he wants to tear the heart out of the Tennessee Titans today.
Hurts back. He is going deep, and it is caught by Devontae Smith into the end zone. Touchdown!
Skinny Batman.
Back goes Tannehill. He steps up. He is hit and got him. Sack number one, Hargrave. Hurts is back. He's looking. Still looking. Now he's going deep to A.J. Brown, who catches it and walks in for a touchdown. Tannehill, he's stepping up. He's hit. They've got him again. Second sack. This time it's Josh Sweat.
Sweaty.
Hurts is running. Hurts is scoring. Jalen Hurts. The Tennessee's defense had given up no more than 20 points in eight straight games. Well, we haven't played the full half yet. They've already given up 21. He is floating it deep for A.J. Brown, who has it.
He took it.
And he scores. A.J. Brown took it away from Trey Avery and scored his second touchdown of the game. Tipped up and sacked again.
BG.
And this time it is Brandon Graham. Here comes the run. They've got him again. They've got him. Sack number six, Josh Sweat. He's got A.J. Brown again. Another first down. A.J. Brown is having a field day against his old team. And plowing forward for the touchdown is Miles Sanders. The Eagles 35, the Titans 10. How's this sound? How does this sound? The Eagles are 11-1. 11-1. What a season this has been.
Tune in next week. Same bat time, same bat channel.
Joe Wechter going back to Batman in the 60s.
Wow.
But it fit perfectly. Let me just say, I have a goal for today's radio program. As you
what
know, our days are dwindling here on the WIP Morning Show.
Cool.
And, cool. And now, I get emails, especially during Eagle games and after Eagle games. The lowest total by far of emails I received this season was yesterday, leading into today. I mean, one quarter, one fifth of what I normally get, because there was nothing to bitch about. And I would like to be able to say, before I walk away into the sunset, that I had one show where all we did was gush and act positive.
Well,
today's your day.
If ever there were a day, Al, is there a better day than today?
We can leave at 9.
Positive people unite. If you are out there and you are just damn happy that you have a football team this great, would you please call me? 215-592-9494. Now, I want to get a lot of calls in today because this is a day of joy.
How will you do this?
I'm going to see.
How will you do this?
I don't know. I've never been in this position with only very little to bitch about.
That's amazing.
I am going to attempt this, but I'm not sure it'll work. All right. I have a plan. I'll see if the plan works. Here's what I do need you to know. If you want to talk about an amazing play. Now, you know, A.J. Brown, look, when you leave a team and you leave other circumstances, he was traded at 24.
Mm-hmm.
All he had done is great things for them, and they still dumped him. They don't want to pay him.
Said he wanted to be there for life.
Yep, he did. He loved it there. They loved him. Mike Vrabel, his coach, did nothing but say how much he loved coaching him, and they just gave him away. They gave him away to Howie Roseman because they didn't want to pay him, and they were afraid he was going to ask for a lot of money. Eagles signed him long-term anyway. He's already signed long-term. And he comes out, and he makes a great touchdown. He gets one call back because his second foot just tickled the line.
Yep.
Then he gets another. This was the play of the game because, first of all, he is completely covered out of the play. You could not be covered more than he is. And Jalen Hurts puts the ball in absolutely the most beautiful spot you could ever do it. And somehow Brown reaches around the defender and catches the ball.
That's unreal.
And then he's got to get his hands past the defender, bringing it in. Here's the way it sounded when Merrill called.
He is floating it deep for A.J. Brown, who has it.
He took it.
And he scores. A.J. Brown took it away from Trey Avery and scored his second touchdown of the game.
Did you ever see a catch like that, Al?
It was unbelievable.
That was an insane catch.
Yeah.
That was a guy.
Only the best do that. Only the best.
Exactly.
Exactly right. That's a play. Jefferson makes that play. Maybe Metcalf makes that play. Not many make it.
I listened to his description of it. He described in detail how he felt it's an advantage that his visor is tinted.
Oh.
Because the defender can't see his eyes.
Wow.
So he said he had that. He just pretends it's not coming, and then he makes the incredible play on the ball.
Well, here's the sub-story to it. This is what's behind it. He didn't say a peep all week about playing. He was real careful not to stir anything up. But after the game, he made it clear he wanted to send a message to Tennessee.
This one meant a lot to me. You know, early on, I had mixed emotions about the trade and everything. And, you know, I'd be lying to you to say I didn't circle this game. So
it was great. This game was from heaven. This was it was beautiful. You weren't nervous. They were under control. Even 7-7, you felt, wow, we got the better team here. Just play it. Don't jump offside. You'll be fine.
There's a lot of former athletes that circle games against their old teams. Yeah. Very few of them come up with performances like he did.
Right. Now, in the next segment, Keith Jones is in a very unique position here, Al. Keith Jones has been watching carefully the Eagles 11-1. He's been doing the games of the Flyers.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what their record is the last 12 games?
1-11.
1-11.
Yeah, I'm familiar.
Okay, that's why I went to you.
Since Al's been there, maybe you should go to him on it.
No, I'm going to you on it. Because Jonesy will be able to provide insight in what it's like to be 11-1 and what it's like to be 1-11.
Yeah.
Keith Jones, in-depth sociological study later in the hour.
Stay tuned.
Bernadette is our first caller from Tabernacle. Hi, Bernie.
Good morning, Angelo, and morning, team. How's everybody doing today?
If I was any better, I'd be naked.
Oh, jeez.
Well, Angelo, you predicted a very wrong score yesterday.
I thought we had already covered that prior to the actual start of the show. Yes, that was Bernie, early in the game when the Eagles were passing at will, it occurred to me that I may not have taken into account the fact that Tennessee is not good at stopping the pass.
I tried to tell you that last week.
Rhea, it did finally dawn on me.
Carson Wentz had 357 yards passing against them.
No, and he seemed to do it effortlessly. Yes. People were open the whole game, and Bernie, that was where I miscalculated.
That's okay, Ange.
Thank you. It's all in winning. I was just trying to motivate the troops.
Angelo.
Yeah.
Real quick, before I talk Eagles, I just want to say something about the whole entire morning team, you guys.
Yes, go ahead.
I want to congratulate Al on the Hall of Fame for the hockey.
Thank you.
I want to congratulate you, Angelo, for doing a remarkable job on WIP. I've listened to you for a very long time since you're on 6:10 a.m. I've listened to you with my dad. I listened to you the entire time. You are great. Jonesy, you're awesome with the Flyers. Rhea and Ava and all you guys, I want to thank you guys again from the bottom of my heart for allowing me and my fiancé Fred to go to the game last Christmas. It was awesome.
Well, that's very kind of you. I would say one thing because people are always asking me about the show that's going to replace us, and I said, you got nothing to worry about. Because Rhea Hughes' voice will be there. She is the one carrying on our tradition. And everybody watch, no matter what else happens here, you will hear the voice of Rhea Hughes. And that's very, very important. She is the heart and soul of this radio program. And the heart and soul will remain here after the rest of us old-timers leave.
She's awesome.
Bertie,
she
what did so you amazing. Think with that Eagles game? Did it make you happy?
It made me very happy, except for the penalties, which I thought were a little ridiculous and out of line, because I really didn't think they were all, like, sensible penalties. I think they were all just, like, thrown in there, because nobody likes the Eagles going as far as they're going.
I got you. This is going to be a great ride, Bertie. Thank you for the call. Mike Quick had a fascinating theory on that.
Mm-hmm.
Mike said that they were jumping off so much, especially early in the game, because they had been all week, they had been coached. You got to get off the ball fast. That's a very aggressive defense. You got to get the jump on them. And a lot of them were geared up even before here comes the call where we jump, and they were jumping early.
Yeah.
He said it was really part of their anticipation of facing a very physical team. But by the third quarter, the physical team had gone home.
Yeah.
They were done. They went, oh, let's get out of here. Put in the rookie quarterback. We're finished here.
Did Sirianni talk about it after the game? Or
He did. Yeah, there is stuff out of it. I will play it for you. We will be asking him more about that.
Yeah.
And I will also put it within terms of, Nick, this is the only thing I can complain about. Because every aspect of that game, the Eagles were great at, except they were not. A lot of false starts.
But they were fortunate after they'd have one, then they'd throw it 15 yards and get the first down.
It didn't affect what they did at all.
That doesn't happen.
It was amazing. No, it doesn't happen.
You don't see it like that.
So then you say, well, they played a good opponent. No, that was a good opponent. That's one of their better teams.
Everyone tough. They don't give up points.
215-592-9494. Share the joy on it. All right, 6:23 is the time. Ava Graham is here with our question of the day. You must be perky today, huh, Ava?
Yeah, I mean, I'm perky every day for the most part.
She had the closest score.
Yeah, all right.
30-24, I think.
Yep,
I think what this would indicate is that predicting is a very, it does not really measure the acumen or the intelligence of the individual.
No, because you know how much analytical work I put into it?
She put nothing into it. She pulled it right out of her rear end.
Yeah, just right from there.
Hello.
Brought to you by Armin Chevrolet, wishing their employees, customers, and WIP listeners happy holidays. Find new roads to Armin Chevrolet closer than you think. Who is the MVP of the NFL so far this season? Patrick Mahomes, Jalen Hurts, Josh Allen, Joe Burrow.
Now, those were the numbers. Those were the names in order that you could bet on right now. Mahomes, even though he's lost three games, including yesterday, and has not performed anywhere close to the level that Hurts has, he is still considered the odds-on favorite to win.
Yeah.
Hurts has moved into the two-hole, and Allen and Burrow have been back at 4-3-4.
Yep.
All right? Tyreek Hill has gotten some votes, too. To me, Al,
it's a two-man race.
It's not an argument right now. Hurts is the MVP. The season's not over. He could blow it, but he has it right now.
I think he's going to win it because the other guy's going to win it so much.
In other words, this is like the off year.
The LeBron effect?
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, the other guy. I mean, you can't say the other guy.
Who deserves it? Hurts? Right now, this year.
11-1, yeah.
Who?
11.
Hurts or Mahomes, Al?
Hurts is going to win it.
No, you won't answer my question.
Well, Mahomes is the best player. I guess if there's a best player.
This is most valuable player.
Then it's Hurts.
Oh, he says it in a begrudging manner.
I bet on him.
I know you bet on him, but you only did that because you got good numbers.
Yeah.
Rhea Hughes.
Hurts.
Jonesy.
Hurts.
I got Hurts. Ava.
Hurts.
Come on. It's not even close.
You can't watch that game yesterday and not think Hurts.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, driving in this morning, I realized that we've been presented with an opportunity you really get in sports analysis.
What is that?
Well, we employ an individual who is, and I could apply this to you too, Al, but I don't have, you're a Hall of Famer now. I don't want to mess with that, right? But Keith Jones simultaneously talks at length about the Eagles, who are 11-1, and does the analysis on TV for the Flyers, who currently, in the last 12 games, are 1-1. and 11. So, Jonesy, what I would assume at this point is that you have some profound insights into the difference between a team that never loses and a team that never wins.
You would be incorrect.
Oh, come on, Jonesy, you're
no,
paid
it's a
to
tough,
do.
I when I watch the Flyers, I think to what they could be if they do what Howie Roseman did.
Howie's the kid.
I mean, there is something there that has opened. I can't believe what Howie Roseman has done. Let me put it that way. And when
true.
I look at the Flyers, I do not see an easy way out. I mean, they have, five of their top players still injured. Some of them will not return. And those players are like losing, you know, not to the equivalent of Hurts and A.J. Brown, but to the Flyers, they're that important to their organization. So I do look at it and say they're getting a little bit healthier now. They are closer than they were going back a few weeks ago. But I don't see him getting out of it this year.
Here's the difference. And you're 100% right going to Howie. Howie did this. Howie, 4 years ago, butchered the draft when he didn't take Jefferson. And he got a shovel. And he dug himself out of that hole. And he built a mountain and he climbed it.
Yes.
Phenomenal. Ron Hextall, same time.
He missed.
Nolan Patrick.
Yeah.
He had the second pick of the draft, right?
Yes, he did.
And no one has dug out of that hole.
No, Nolan Patrick's no longer playing.
He's out of the game. So the difference is not that they make mistakes or not. It's that one guy was able to figure out a way to get out of that and start making one great move after the other. And the other guy, they didn't get there yet.
No.
Even with a couple of different guys.
No, they didn't. That's what has to happen if they're going to get to where the Eagles are. So management does matter. There's no doubt.
What is it like, though, when you walk to the arena, 1-11, versus when you walk into a building when you're 11-1?
Yeah,
what's that like?
I will tell you why going to a Flyers game this year compared to the last couple of years is better because John Tortorella's behind the bench.
So you got
to
hope.
There's more of an – even though they continue to lose – you don't walk away from the game feeling overly upset because they do have an identity now. They do play hard. They do play for each other. They do fight a little bit. They do hit more. They just don't win. But
have you been on a team as good as this Eagles team?
Yes.
And you're all right. What's that like?
It's the best.
You love going to work. Right?
I went to Colorado the year after they won the Stanley Cup. I was traded in November. And every time we stepped on the ice, you stepped on there believing that you were the best team in the world.
That's a beautiful feeling.
And that's what the Eagles have right now. And the good thing is for the Eagles, they have guys that have been on the team when they were the best in the world when they won the Super Bowl. So
they know what it's like.
That part they know. The swagger is there. There's no doubt.
This is great. Al, this may be the greatest team in the years we've been doing this show that we have ever had. You realize that?
Well, this may be the greatest team. Look at the record.
Let me go to Simon John. Hi, Simon John.
Well, I hope we can say that on February 13th, not today, but that's what we're working towards.
What was it like for you yesterday at the game, John?
It was like a scrimmage. He went back to pass. There was no pressure. He stood there. Guys were wide open. It was ridiculous. It literally was like a scrimmage on offense.
Right.
I mean, the Browns' catch was ridiculous, but the other plays, they're throwing 7-yard passes, 8-yard passes. Nobody there, no pressure. It was like nothing.
And, John, we're a half hour into the show. We haven't even mentioned Derrick Henry yet. All he did was run into a wall all day. There was no room.
Nothing. I don't think he had – they didn't do anything on offense for the most part. I don't even know. Did they have 150 yards? Maybe at the end they got some yards.
All I know is his numbers were brutal. He was 11 carries for 30 yards, 2.7 yards per carry. That's awful. That's probably the worst any running back did against the Eagles all season.
They don't have any time to rest with Barkley coming up next week.
I understand, but you've got to be. John, you've been doing this from the vet days. Is this so far, this far into a season, three-quarters of the way through? Is this the best Eagles team you've seen?
For sure. Jonesy said it. He was on a team. We've been inclined to, like, always find a way to lose. Oh, we're not going to win. Something's going to happen. And that, I'd say close to 7-8 years now since the Super Bowl, you go into these games thinking, we're the better team. We're going to win. Nothing bad is going to happen. The bad thing's going to happen to the other team.
Yeah. John, As always, right on point. Thank you, my friend. The other thing that's amazing, and Josie referred to this too. Josie's been very good so far today. Yeah. What he said was, they would have a penalty. So it would be 3rd and 3. Now it's 3rd and 8. Oh, you're screwed. No. Then they converted.
Didn't matter.
They did it. The first time down the field, there were 3 of them, and none of it stopped them at all.
That told you that they knew that they were going to dominate that game.
They knew it.
There was nothing that made the Eagles feel uncomfortable the entire afternoon.
It's
nothing.
But you understand, that is a very good coach, Mike Vrabel.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And a solid team.
Good defensive team.
That's a very good team.
Yeah.
And you made them look silly.
You did.
They, by the third quarter, halfway through the third quarter, they were holding up the white flag.
They surrendered. They were quitting.
How amazing is that you did that to a good team? See, a lot of we would come on the day after game, and they would go, well, that team, yeah, Colts, they stink. And, the Commanders, they stink. All these teams stink. You can't say that about that opponent. They're going to make the playoffs. They will be in the playoffs.
Yeah, no, that was a statement yesterday.
And you buried them.
Mm-hmm.
Ah, let's go to the say what guy, Dave. Hi, Dave.
Hey, good morning, good morning, good morning. Hey, listen, I'm looking for that analyst. Is he in there today?
Yes.
Is he in there today?
Of course. What's the matter, Dave? Are you happy or not?
First of all, hey, Al.
Yo.
Al, you wasn't there Friday, right?
No.
Oh, he had me drunk. He had me in the opium house.
You did, Ange. You owe him an apology.
I have no recollection of these allegations.
It wasn't a house. It was a den.
Dave, listen a minute.
I know nothing about football.
Dave, I have already acknowledged my mistake. There's no reason to rub my face in it.
Hey, I told you, man.
That guy stands straight up. He can't run nowhere, man. He can't run nowhere.
Yeah, but Dave, hold on a minute. You saw a lot of other guys running amok on our defense. I don't know what happened, but Henry had no room at all.
Yeah.
Ever.
He had nothing.
He had nothing.
He had no desire to get the ball. He couldn't wait for the afternoon to end.
I mean, it was Dave. It was ridiculous that they fixed every hole in 1 week.
Yep. I told you, man.
All right, stop telling me you told me. You don't know your ass from a hole in the wall, Dave. Who are you kidding? My God, if you were that smart, wouldn't you have a show and I'd be calling you?
All right,
Dave, goodbye.
Ladies and gentlemen,
our leader has arrived.
Oh, he's the best.
Jason is here. Hi, Jason.
Good morning, Angelo.
How you feeling today, Jason?
Please believe it.
Oh, Jason, where were you watching the game yesterday? Where were you?
I was watching it at a restaurant at Applebee's with some friends. It was a great game. And Angelo, you have to... I know that you're already eating crow, but you're going to be eating a lot of crow today.
All right, listen to me, Jason. First of all, I'm not enjoying your sing-songy approach to this call. And secondly, I think we have covered that issue in total. And now it's time to move on to the great performance of the Eagles.
Angelo, you know you... I know that you're the best and that, you know, sportscaster and everything, and everybody loves to listen to you. And you know, you have a lot of good wit to you. However, you were just wrong yesterday, and I'm glad that you're coming around to admitting it.
All right.
You know?
Yes, I've acknowledged it, Jason.
Now listen,
yes.
I predicted that they were going to win 31-14. I was a little bit off.
It's a good pick.
And now we got to talk about the sorry Giants.
Now, hold on, Jason. I want to do something. Shut up for a second. Jason, I made a decision based on this call.
Uh-oh.
On Friday, I will not make a prediction. You will make my prediction for me. How's that? Because you were right and I was wrong. I will defer whatever Jason's prediction is when the Eagles face the Giants at the Meadowlands next Sunday. That will be my prediction. How's that, Jason?
Hmm. All right. That sounds good, Angela.
All right, so it'll be, and if you're right, then I will have you continue doing that, because clearly you know more football than I do.
Mm-hmm.
Well, not exactly, but, you know, I'm just saying that I'm a diehard fan, as many, you know, just like everybody else, and, you know,
yep.
I believe that we have a very, very special team this year.
All right, Jay, give me one.
It's time, Jason. Give us a go with it, that.
All right, you ready?
Yep.
Here we go. Eagles!
Our leader has spoken, and now I will be deferring to Jason as long as he's right.
Yeah.
Because you couldn't be much more wrong than I was.
He knows how to break it down.
He really broke it down. 215-592-9494. You know who's going to break it down when we come back? Our football guy, Elliot Shore Parks. Uh-huh. He's up next. WIP Sports. All right, it's 6:42. If you just wake it up, oh my God, your Eagles are 11-1.
Yes,
it has only happened once in the history of the team, and that was their final record in 1949. Allen, they went on to win the championship. No other Eagles team has been 11-1.
Wow.
The team 5 years ago that won the Super Bowl, they were 10-1, and then they lost.
They've never been 10-1 and not going to the championship.
All right, come on. Elliot Shore Parks covers the Eagles for WIP, and we have on the line with us right now. Hi, Elliot.
Hey, what's going on? How you guys doing?
Elliot, how long have you been covering the Eagles? How many years?
I think this is my 10th year, actually.
All right, good. 10th anniversary. Mm-hmm. Is this the best Eagles team you covered?
Wow, that's a great question. I would still say 2017 is probably better at this point, but this team is outstanding. I mean, there's no question about it. You can make an argument that this team might have a little more talent. I still think that 2017 team, if these two teams played, I would probably have to pick them. But this team is absolutely outstanding. I mean, I have no question in my mind they're going to the Super Bowl after yesterday's performance. So we'll see if they can match what that 2017 team did.
Well, you already have them going to the big game. You've seen enough.
Oh, yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
I'm already figuring out what suit I'm going to wear. It's going to be a long week in Arizona.
Wow.
Let me figure out what I'm going to get. Exactly. But now, they're going. There's absolutely no question in my mind. You look at the rest of the NFC. You look at the way this team is playing. They're the most complete team in the NFL, both sides of the ball. And if the special teams play well, then it's really game over. We'll see if they can do that for a longer stretch. But what made them special yesterday, and what everyone needs to be honest about themselves with, this team is special when they pass the ball. I know they ran the ball well last week, and that was all fun and good. The passing game is what makes this team special. And when they move it like that through the air, there might not be a team in the league that can beat them.
All right, let's talk about that passing game. And one individual who had a tremendous game, A.J. Brown.
Yeah.
What do you think, knowing the background of how A.J. Brown got here, Elliot, what do you think Mike Vrabel was thinking on the other sideline when he basically said before the trade here, that A.J. Brown will leave my team over my dead body?
Well, he probably realized his chance of ever winning anything of significance is gone. I mean, the Titans are a good team, don't get me wrong, but they're exactly the team you don't want to be. They're a team that's great in the regular season. Come playoff time, it really doesn't matter. They almost always lose. And one of the reasons is they can't pass the ball. So if you're Mike Vrabel, of course you're upset watching what A.J. Brown does. But I also think if your players on that Titans defense, you're especially upset, not only because you have to cover him, and that's extremely hard to do, but the Titans defense is good. This is a unit that is capable of winning a Super Bowl. This is a unit that come playoff time you can count on. And they just have to sit there and watch their GM and, you know, to a certain extent their head coach move on from A.J. Brown, their best player on offense besides Derrick Henry. So I'm sure it was an eye-opening experience for the Titans, the players, the coaches, all that. And it also should have been one where fans should appreciate the fact that the Eagles got A.J. even though they already had Devontae.
Elliot, can you explain how the hell he made that second touchdown catch?
it was a great throw, first of all. I thought that, you know, Jalen put it in a good spot. But what AJ's really good at, and he talked about this after the game, is he puts his hands up so late that it's tough for the defensive back to really see and adjust to where the ball is coming. Because AJ knows the defensive back in that situation, he's looking at AJ, right? AJ's the one looking at the ball. So what you watch him do is, you know, he's obviously running his route. He keeps his hands closed, and at the last second, he puts it up to catch it. It makes it so hard for the defensive back to adjust. He doesn't even know really it's coming. AJ said the ball originally wasn't even supposed to go to him. So AJ does such a good job of waiting, and then grabbing it at the last second.
That's fascinating. They're reading his eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't think it's coming. And then all of a sudden, his hands go up, and he catches
amazing,
the ball
right?
around the defender. Amazing. All right, here's what I'm looking at. Brown, Reddick had a good game. Davis, Dean, the big boys in the middle. Bradbury. The real star yesterday's game was Howie Roseman, wasn't it, Elliot?
Yeah, for the first time in a long time, it feels like, right? You think about how he's been under so much criticism in the city. But look at this defense he's put together, right? I mean, they have talent at every level of the field. Even yesterday, N'Kobe Dean comes in, and I know that it's you know, kind of mop-up time. He has two tackles for a loss on his first two plays, right? Like, so this team is loaded. And the pass rush specifically, I think, is especially impressive. They have the second most sacks in the league right now. They have the second most sacks in franchise history through 12 games. And they're doing it without being reckless, right? They're doing it through talent, and I also think scheme. I think sometimes when it comes to getting the quarterback, the perception is you got to blitz, you got to go. Well, they're doing this and getting pressure on the quarterback better than all but one team in the NFL while also running a scheme that can help them create turnover. So Howie Roseman, certainly the star of the show yesterday. But I also think Jonathan Gannon's scheme really, you know, had a good day.
Well, I was going for the coaches next because here's what that coaching staff as a whole did yesterday. I don't know how they did it in 1 week, Elliot, but they fixed most of the problems they have been having the previous three games. The tackling was terrific. Special teams was far better than it's been at any point this year. The passing game, what we were worried about, oh, Hurts is running too much. The passing game was unstoppable. How did they fix all those holes in 1 week?
Yeah, and if it was another coaching staff, my answer to this would probably be, well, let's wait and see if they actually fix it, right? Because it's only one game. But I think one of the special qualities of this coaching staff has been, since last year, they're really good at fixing problems, and especially in season. If you remember last year, they had penalties week after week to begin the year. Then they were really good at that as the year went on. The offense struggled early on. They adjusted to start scoring points through the running game. This offseason, they adjusted and made the passing game better. This season, they went from not being able to score in the second half to scoring, it feels like, 2 to 3 touchdowns each half. So I think it's a sign of a special coaching staff that not only can they fix the problem, but in season is so hard to do, right? That big problems are normally fixed in the off season. So for them to go from what the special teams was last week to what it was this week, it's just very impressive. It shows the players are listening, but it also shows they're willing to make changes. And sometimes coaching staff can be really stubborn. This one is not.
Elliot, is Jalen Hurts the MVP?
He is. Yeah, I had thought that the last few weeks Patrick Mahomes had overtaken him, and I think Patrick Mahomes at this point is still a better player, but that's not what the award is. The award is the most valuable player in the league, and with the Chiefs losing yesterday, I think they have 3 losses now, if not 4, and Jalen only has 1. It has to be Jalen. I mean, he's playing at an outstanding level. You saw what he did yesterday. This team is not 11-1 without him. He should be the MVP.
All right, I got one last thing. And again, I guess this is the only ominous thing I will add. Jalen Hurts is getting very little pay right now, but he's about to get paid. That's going to throw everything into upheaval at that point, because once you pay your quarterback $30 million or whatever you're paying him, you have that much less to apply to the cap. Elliot, is this the Eagles' best chance right now to take advantage of that and win this year?
Yeah, I think it's their best chance just because of how talented their roster is, obviously. I do understand what you're saying about Jalen's contract, but I would say to people, it's not going to have the impact everyone thinks it does. They just gave A.J. Brown a 4-year, $100 million contract. His cap hit this year is $6 million. His cap hit next year, $6 million. They could have almost $40 million in cap space this offseason. This is not a front office that loses players they want to keep. So will they re-sign every single free agent? No, but what they're going to do is they're going to write big signing bonus checks, which is credit to Jeffrey Lurie. And then Howie Roseman's going to make it a 7-year deal where it gets spread out, but really only 3 of them are real. So I think that this perception that they're going to lose a bunch of players is just not true.
I love it. Elliot Shaw-Prox, you are covered a champion, baby, 11-1. And Elliot has predicted that our team will be at the Super Bowl this year. Thank you, Elliot.
Yep, no problem. Talk to you guys soon.
I have decided I know what I want for Christmas.
Okay. What do you want?
I want a full life-size poster of my hero, Howie Roseman. And
like
I want
a fat head.
And I want
yes,
a fat head would be great.
That'd be awesome, actually.
I you know, I'll guarantee you they're not marketing that. My hero,
I do too,
is Howie Roseman.
They should be.
And
marketing
furthermore,
the best.
I would like to prop it up on the foot of my bed, so when I go
you,
to
bro.
Bed at night, I see Howie's smiling face and feel better about the world.
Ask your wife about that.
I got to tell you something. Might spice things up even.
Oh, oh goodness.
Think
sakes.
It through.
He Howie is a Roseman. Handsome man.
Come on.
He
Howie
might get
Roseman.
Traded for the GM.
He is not a man, Jonesy. He is a god.
Yes, he is.
Let's go to Rocco for a dirty 30. Hey, Rock.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning. Were you there yesterday, Rocco?
Well, yeah, I sent you pictures. I was actually on the field during the anthem. I was holding the flag.
Nice.
Oh, how'd you get on the field? Who do you know?
Your friend, Mr. Don Smolensky.
Oh, nice. So you were holding a flag of what?
No, the big flag
of the
American
USA.
Flag.
Oh, nice. Oh, you were holding and then wiggling it when it waves?
Waving
yes,
it, yeah.
When as soon as they saw with the banner, you start to wave.
You wiggle.
Yeah.
He was holding the flag too, Ange.
All right. No. All right, so, Rock, tell me something. How did that performance look to you up close?
Oh, it was awesome. Being on that field and the players were being introduced and they run right by us. And it was just phenomenal. They're so big and personal. And when they put the pads and the helmet on, they look like gladiators. They're even bigger in uniform. And it was just phenomenal. It was just such a great atmosphere. And today's my 60th. So what
no
better
way.
Happy birthday, Rocco.
Rocco, man, you're holding up great for 60. I thought you... Never mind.
Oh my God, Ange.
So, Rock, let's just put it on the table. The Eagles have only been 11-1 one other time in their history.
Yes.
Is this team destined to go to the large game in February?
Well, who do you see that will prevent them from getting there?
It's very true.
I mean, look what happened to the 49ers.
The Vikings have a good record, but I don't think that. The Eagles already handled them.
Everybody was saying the 49ers, but, you know, they lost Garoppolo.
49ers just lost Garoppolo. They're not going anywhere.
Well, look, everything's falling in place. And I got to tell you, people like yourself and the national pundits, they really had me worried about this game.
Yeah.
But then I started looking at it on my own investigative individual data. You took away the Colts, and their running back has only averaged 2.7 yards per carry.
Yeah.
One game where you got 200 yards in rushing, it padded the stats. But their secondary, I knew was suspect. Going into that game, I knew was suspect. This is one of the games where you say, don't run the ball, pass the ball. And Jalen, I mean, this was the most complete game of the season, and it couldn't have happened better than after the last 3 weeks. In the 12th week of the season, December is when you win championships.
Rocco is nail it. Rocco, you brought them good luck. Thank you. Well, it's an amazing thing how that it's played out the way it is. It's nuts. I won a bet for over under win total.
Yeah.
3 weeks ago.
Yeah. Yep. Unreal thing.
How is that even possible?
The league missed it. Everybody missed it.
How did they miss it that spectacular?
Because they didn't believe in the quarterback.
They just missed look at the line this weekend. They missed it so badly.
Right.
Remember it went from 6.5 to 4.5?
All right, listen, my wife is still positive for COVID, but she's doing great. And I hope you don't mind. You'll indulge me for a second. I have a private message to give to my wife, Gail.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Gail, I don't know how to break this to you, but you might not see a lot of me till February. Well, looks like I'm going to be doing this for a while. Looks like I'm going to be here till mid-February.
No bigger fan of the Eagles right now than Gail Cataldi.
Thank you. 215-592-9494. We come back. We're going to go a little deeper into the performance of A.J. Brown, who was sensational yesterday. WIP Sports Time 655.